The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the gospel of the Lord. So I hope that you enjoy the pathway. And as we know, sometimes that journey through life can be a bit treacherous. We do have to watch where we're going. There are some jagged edges and points here. So when you come up to the front, do watch your step up here. And you do have good friends who will help you up if you fall down. That's a blessing. Well, today I have a cartoon, a story, and a commentary on that. First, the cartoon. How many of you remember the cartoon strip Calvin and Hobbes? Okay, quite a few of you do. Do any of you remember the very first Calvin and Hobbes comic strip? In that strip, Calvin's dad is working on his car, and Calvin walks up to him wearing his kind of classic safari hat and says to him, "So long, Pop. I'm off to check my tiger trap. I rigged a tuna fish sandwich yesterday, so I'm sure to have a tiger by now." His dad replies, "They like tuna fish, huh?" And as Calvin walks away, he says, "Tigers will do anything for a tuna sandwich." And then we see Hobbes hanging by his foot. Hobbes is the tiger, hanging by his foot from a tree, munching on a tuna fish sandwich. And he says to no one in particular, "We're kind of stupid that way." Now the story. During the 6 years that we lived in Palo Alto, California, which is where my first call was, every summer we would spend at least a long weekend with our friends Karen and Vince at their family lake house on Clear Lake in California. It was in Napa Valley, so it was always nice and warm and sunny. And we always looked forward to those weekends where we would get together and go water skiing, swimming, playing cards, sitting out on the dock, talking with good friends. Well, one summer we were in the middle of Clear Lake, and everyone decided that it was time for me to learn how to water ski on one ski. I had always gotten up the first try on two skis. I was getting more daring, kind of cutting across the wake and all that. So they said, "Now's the time." And I thought, well, okay, that sounded good to me. Karen was a teacher and Vince a computer engineer, so they were very thorough in telling me what I needed to do and what was different about water skiing on one ski versus two. The biggest thing that they said was, on two skis you can pop up sooner, but with one ski you just kind of have to lean back and let the boat do the work for you. I thought, well, that sounds good to me, even easier. So I got my life jacket on, jumped into the lake. They gave me the ski, the rope. Vince circled the boat around to kind of pull the rope taut, and I was ready to go. I was excited, so I yelled, "Hit it!" The boat went on. I started coming up out of the water thinking, this is really easy. This is awesome. I was almost upright, and then I thought, wow, I'm doing this again on the first try. And then, pow! I fell head over heels, face first into the water. I was so eager, I popped up too soon. So Vince circled the boat around. Eric lifted up that red flag to say that there was a skier in the water, and they were clapping, laughing, and said, "You almost did it. You were almost there. Just remember, be patient. Let the boat do the work. Let's try again." So with that as my mantra, be patient, let the boat do the work, I got ready again. Again, I came right up out of the water, was excited, thinking, okay, this time is it. Then, pow, again, head over heels into the water. Again, they said, "You're so close, you can do it this next time." Well, I won't even tell you how many times that went on. It would take both hands and at least 1 foot to tell you how many times I almost did it. Finally, it was probably after at least 15 times, and I'm not exaggerating, maybe even more, my pride was shattered enough, and I think I had swallowed or had up my nose or in my eyes or in my ears half the water of Clear Lake. And I got discouraged, and I said, "You know, this isn't really working for me. And no, I don't want to ski now on two skis. I think I'm done." So Vince circled the boat around again, and Karen pulled the tow rope in. I got back into the boat, not a very happy Clear Lake camper. Karen handed me a towel, and I sat down, and it was quiet for a bit. And then finally Eric said, "Beth, one of the things I love most about you is that you are very consistent." Yes, sometimes I'm kind of stupid that way. Now, I don't mean to speak for you, but really, aren't we all kind of stupid that way? I mean, we keep doing the same things, things that we don't want to do, over and over again. How we can not do the things we want to do over and over again. Even when we know deep in our hearts why we would want to do it or not do it, even when we have a good instruction on how to correct ourselves, even when we have a cheering squad encouraging us on, we do it anyway or we don't do it anyway. We can find ourselves stumbling head over heels, and before we know it, our whole body is aching, and we kind of feel almost like we're drowning deep in the water. Jesus had just been baptized by John in the Jordan River. As he came out of the water, he heard a voice from heaven that said, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And no sooner had he come up out of the water than, pow, Satan was tempting him to be less than who he was, less than who God had created him to be. Satan tempted him each time by saying, "If you are the Son of God, then do what I tell you to do." Each and every day, you and I are tempted to be less than who God created us to be. Temptation comes to us in many different moments, but consistently it comes to us. In those moments when we look at others and maybe feel insecure about not having enough or not looking quite good enough. Temptation comes in judgments that we make about strangers or friends who might make choices a little differently than we do. Temptation blinds us as we look away from those who are in need. And when we choose to live our lives unaffected by poverty or hunger, by disease or disaster. Temptation comes when we can't control our temper. Or when we seek to control others, when we selfishly put ourselves first, when we don't speak up on behalf of those who have no voice in society. Temptation comes when we justify little white lies, oh, small sins, laughing at racist or sexist jokes, criticizing someone when he or she is not around. Temptation comes when we become so entrapped by material things, relational dynamics, or maybe even the past, the present, or the future, that we can lose sight of life itself. We lose our perspective. We become less than who God created us to be. Each day we are tempted to be less than who God created us to be. We don't consider how much more is possible with God. Sometimes we're too consistent, making those same mistakes over and over again. We might take booby-trapped tuna sandwiches when God has so much more in store for us. As human beings, sometimes we are kind of stupid that way. Inside our souls is an emptiness that we try to fill with so many things. Most of them are not things that give us life, but instead leaving us feeling empty and restless. Ways that draw us away from God. Ways that make us stumble and fall. Ways that make us feel less than who God created us to be. Blaise Pascal described the human condition as having a God-shaped hole. It is a hole that cannot be filled except through a relationship with God. St. Augustine said, "We humans are always restless until we rest in God." The season of Lent is all about carving out time in our lives to reflect on who we are, to reflect on how we are to live our lives, and to take time to rest in God. We know we are not perfect. We know we make mistakes. Chances are we don't always have to be reminded of that by others. It's a time for us to rest, to be renewed in Christ. Because we are created by God to be in relationship with God and to be in relationship with each other. These relationships don't take away those challenges or those struggles, those trials or temptations. But they do give us courage to live in the midst of them. Not just to survive them, but also to grow and flourish together as a community of faith, as a community of compassion and kindness. We can't live apart from God. In the midst of temptation, in the midst of living life, Jesus knew who he was by remembering whose he was. Remembering that he was truly God's beloved Son. Today we gather to remember who we are. And we remember who we are by remembering whose we are. That we are God's beloved children. That through this water and the word and the promises of God, that we indeed have been marked with the cross of Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. We have been and are reborn as beloved children of God. This is who we are. This is how we live. We are loved. We are forgiven. We are loving, and we are forgiving. This is who we are, because we are God's beloved children. Thanks be to God. Amen.